Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
This is the competition of the noise, man. That's the challenge that I think every creator has to figure out how to solve.
Today on episode 467 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with marketing and growth consultant Tom Morcus. I'm going to ask Tom how to get noticed in a sea of digital chaos and much more. Find out more about Tom along with all of our previous episodes at smashingtheplateau.com. Now, let's welcome Tom Morcus. Tom is the founder and CEO of Insurgent Publishing, host of In the Trenches, and author of The Art of Instigating. Tom is a sought-after marketing and growth consultant whose A-list clientele include high-profile influencers, New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestsellers, and fast-growth companies looking to scale to 8 and 9 figures. You can get inside Tom's brain by reading his blog at tommorcus.com. Tom, welcome to the show.
David, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on. So you have a really interesting background, some time in the military, mm-hmm. and then some time as an entrepreneur. I'd love to hear sort of a little bit about, like, what is Tom all about?
So my background is in the military. I went to West Point. So even from a young age, actually, I think it was fifth grade, I went to West Point to check out the campus with my older brother because he was considering going there, the Naval Academy. And we don't have like a lineage of military in our family or anything like that. Just like, I think, respect for people who serve and for, you know, warriors and leaders and stuff like that. And that kind of stuff was, I think, inculcated in my youth. But I went with my brother when he was in high school looking to figure out where he was going to go to college. We kind of knew right out the bat, like, you're paying for your own college. Like, there's no funds for anything else. We had nothing like that. So it's like, you're on your own. But it was always encouraged to go to college. So my brother was scouting out West Point and Naval Academy, because if you get in, it's effectively free school. You know, you go there, you actually get paid while you're there. It's not much. And you have to make quite a sacrifice. And it entails 5 years of active duty service afterwards. But I went there as a little kid. I saw it. I was like, this is the place I want to go. So I knew, like, at fifth grade, I was like, that's what I'm going to be doing. And so really my whole, like, life up to that point through high school was like doing everything I could to make sure I could get into West Point, you know, doing things physically, working on like government, like political, you know, local political stuff, working, doing charitable stuff, playing multiple sports, you know, trying to obviously score as best I could on standardized tests and all those things. Like everything that would just kind of like give me the best shot at getting into one of these, this kind of school. Because it's like at the time, I think when I applied, it was like the hardest school in America to get into. And it's usually in the top like 10 or something like that. But I think it was like particularly difficult that year. So it was like I planned, I worked, and I was able to get in. And then the next 4 years were hard, really, really difficult at West Point. But finally, I graduated somehow, some way, made it through there, and then spent 5 years as a commissioned officer. So basically, right off the bat, I graduated 2008, deployed to Iraq 2009 to 2010, and led a gun truck security platoon over in Iraq. So I was actually just talking to my wife about this, kind of looking back on it. It's like, it's now been some time. Like, it's funny how time kind of goes by, but I was only 22 at the time. And it's kind of wild to think about, you know, that the responsibility that you have as like a young kid to, you know, to run those missions, to make sure nobody dies, to make sure like things get done. There's just a lot of that responsibility that I had at a young age. So the point is, I did that. I came back, ended up being operations in a group support battalion in a 5th Special Forces group, and then a company commander of the headquarters company. And about that time, I was like, you know, it's either I've got to get into a track here in the military. Like, I was considering maybe I do go like SF, Special Forces, or something like that. Maybe I go to law school. I wasn't quite sure, but there was always this thing kind of nagging on the back of my head, kind of in my heart even, where I was like, well, I really want to pursue some of these creative ideas I have, because there's like, there's no creative outlet in the military. Hey, there's nothing wrong with it. It's got its own levels of enjoyment in different ways. And it's fun in that regard and challenging and fulfilling, but I was never able to tap into like any of that kind of the creative side of what I do, which I've always been like a writer, an artist. Like, I love that kind of stuff. And I'd been reading a lot of blogs and paying attention to a lot of stuff that people were doing online. I'm like, I know I'm capable of doing this. I just have to do it. So I decided to start a blog. I started writing. I started a podcast. And I decided, okay, I'm actually going to get out of the Army. I'll take a year off And then when I get back, I'm going to take a year off to go travel around the world. So I was like, I just need a break, you know, kind of thing. Like, I'm going to treat myself after many long years of difficult work. And we'll see what happens. When I get back, I'll take the LSAT, go to law school, whatever. I'll figure it out. And I had a couple plans like that. I wasn't blind to what I was doing. I weighed the cost and I counted the cost and I said, okay, yeah, this is worth it to just take a year off to go travel. Well, it was also an opportune time because I just started blogging and just started podcasting. And by the forcing function of going to travel, my wife was a yoga instructor. We got to travel around the world and I was able to build my audience, build my readership through the blog, build my listenership through the podcast. I was able to write and publish my own books and then eventually other people's books when I started in search and publishing. And little by little, it grew. And it grew so much that by the end of that year, we were like, hey, that actually worked out pretty well. Financially, we're actually, you know, better off than when we started, which was a surprise because we thought we'd go into debt. And we decided, hey, let's just do one more year abroad and see what happens. So we did that again. We basically did 2 years abroad, like around the world, spending, you know, weeks at a time or months at a time in certain countries, a lot of Southeast Asia and stuff like that. And then got back to the States and things were going so well. I was like, it doesn't make sense for me anymore to go to law school. Like, it just doesn't. The numbers just don't work out at this point. And so I've continued to do that full time ever since. So been going strong over five years doing the publishing and then everything else that has kind of like opened the doors of. Everything I've done through the podcast, the blogging, through the writing, just tons of like little things that kind of have manifested that I never expected to and that would not have had I not put in the time and effort to build it in the first place.
Yeah. So you know what strikes me, Tom, in your story is that you had this unexpected opportunity that seemed to evolve as you were traveling around the world the first year where you didn't expect to make any money.
Yeah.
And there are so many people who dream to be able to have a location independent business and to be able to fund their lifestyle, even if it's a very modest lifestyle, yet they struggle to be able to achieve that even with a plan to be able to do it. And you actually achieved it, even though creating a location independent lifestyle was not initially part of your plan.
Yeah, it's super interesting, right? I mean, I look back, I'm kind of like awestruck by it in some ways because timing. I was fortunate on timing. Like as I look back at my life, I'm like, yep, I did the right things in the right order. But at the same time, like certain opportunities presented themselves at the right time. And so like timing was fortunate. I had the background in the military gave me confidence that I can take a year off. And it's not like I'm taking a year off. Nothing I do is ever taking time off, honestly. Like I'm just not that kind of person. So for me, taking a year off was more like, I'm not going to go into my day job anymore. I'm not going to have to, you know, strap, you know, tie my boots on, put my helmet on anymore. I'm not going to have to do that anymore. But for me, it was still putting quite a bit of time and effort into the writing and into the publishing on my own blog and through the newsletter, through the podcast. And it's actually quite a bit of, when you're first starting out doing this stuff, it's really time intensive. And I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So I started doing this on the side blogging when I was actually still in the Army. And so if I had a lunch break and I was able to like go sit out in my car, I'd open up my laptop and I'd write for half an hour. On the weekends, I'd work Saturday and Sunday on this blog. And in evenings, I'd be writing. I basically had no time in the morning because I had to roll out at like 4 a.m. So I didn't really do anything in the mornings. But you know, the point is as I look back on it, I spent a good year side hustling it before I left. And that didn't even get me up to the point where my money was replaced. I wasn't able to replace my day job income until after we had started traveling. And actually by that second year, it took me 2 years to get back to where I was as a commissioned officer and what mm-hmm. I was getting paid.
Yeah, financially.
Financially, yes. And again, I don't recommend that as like, you should do this. It's something I would never tell anybody to do. But I weighed my risk, we could say my aptitude or my ability to deal with risk and what I'm comfortable with. And I realized like also knowing with my background, my career in the military, I didn't see myself having a problem getting a job if I needed to. Like I had recruiters and many junior officers and stuff like that do when they get out. Like you it's not hard to find placement and say like a managerial role at some, you know, large company or, you know, whatever it is. And so I had that. And I also believed in myself that I would probably be pretty capable as a lawyer or something like that, or whatever it might be. And so I knowing those things on the back end, when I took that time off, I was like, well, I'm going to be intentional about this time off. It's not just I'm taking time off. I'm not just like sitting by the beach drinking margaritas. Maybe there was a little bit of that, but mostly it was also with my laptop open and working. And I think that's the thing. People see this and they see these kind of location-dependent lifestyle businesses. They do exist. But I think my experience is they're really, really difficult. They're like really, really hard. And you have to be doing it for yourself. Like you have to be growing, building your own thing. Like, I don't know if you can, like, I don't know what my life would have been like, or if it would have worked at all if I had just been an employee of like a remote, of a company and was just working remotely. But because I was working on my own stuff, I could set my own hours. I could dictate my schedule. I could prioritize the things that I felt were important. And that's it, man. You know, I made a lot of mistakes along the way, but it just so happened that I guess I made enough choices that were right and had big enough wins where I was able to just keep going, you know, and that's kind of how I view it. And even what I do now, it's like, I do view it through the lens of there will be failures. There will hit setbacks. It's never going to be a smooth sailing. It's always hard work, but I find it very, very rewarding and enjoyable. And now with where I'm at, I'm like, okay, how do I bring it to my work to even a deeper level than where I was at before? And so that's kind of the process I'm in now. Now that I'm established, it's like, well, now, even though there's some exhilaration about the startup aspect of it, like you can make mistakes, nobody's paying attention. So the stakes are higher now with what I'm doing. But now I look at it as like the next venture, the next phase of life for me is like making it more of a vocation and diving in even deeper into the work that I'm doing and finding, you know, deeper meaning in the work that I do for myself, for my family, but also the people that I serve, the people who read my newsletter, that read the blog, who buy my products or services, you know, in a bunch of different ways. And it's like, how can I create a bigger, I think, fundamental difference in their lives? And so that's kind of where I'm at in my journey as well.
Mm-hmm. And so, Tom, what is the core problem that you solve with your business right now?
So I kind of look at it and say, I kind of do projects. I think it's even Seth Godin who's talked about that in the past, and he's obviously been a big inspiration for me. But the way I've always perceived this stuff is projects. So I do different projects. And so Insurgent Publishing is just one of those projects. And so we publish books, and I also have a consultancy where it's more like, you know, for startups and things like that, tech companies. And so I've come in and helped them kind of establish affiliate programs or influencer marketing programs and things like that, and kind of grow those, that area or start and build that aspect of their business and kind of help them scale it. And then I also have my writing and the books that I publish. I have the podcast, which is kind of its own kind of silo thing. I mean, it connects to the other things a little bit, but it's also its own kind of like independent thing. And all these different things that I do, you know, they all make money in different ways, or they're useful to me in certain ways. Like the podcast, I'm not advertising on the podcast, but the value in it is the conversations I have like this and the ability to connect to the really smart people and then share that with listeners who are interested. So as far as my business, like what does it do? It really depends on like, I guess, which particular project we're looking at. Cause like I've started a couple new businesses in the past year as well. So we have those kind of running. I have like co-founders and I have a co-founder, one of them. And so they're all kind of actually solving different problems. But I guess me personally, I look at like what I do and I'm like, I'm trying to help solve the problem of like the challenge of getting noticed, of getting recognized, I guess you could say, for say that solopreneur, you know, in a sea of others, how do you get seen? How do you get noticed? And I feel like if there's one thing that kind of ties everything of mine together, it's that. It's answering that question, because that's the thing that I struggled with the most when getting started was I have no, you know, why would somebody care about me? Why would somebody, you know, pay attention? Why would somebody sign up or read my books or you know, sign up for my newsletter? Why, you know, and then once I kind of got over those initial like challenges, it was also like, okay, well, now I have a product or I have a service, like I have these books or I have these courses or whatever they might be, and I'm trying to get new sales. How do I do that? Again, when you're competing against people that are established, that have brand recognition, that everybody's sharing, how do you make a living doing that? So that's for specifically, I think, for authors, writers, anybody with a book, anybody doing digital products, courses, membership sites, what else? Different kinds of brands and businesses like that, software. That's kind of where my bread and butter has been. Not so much, I've done some stuff with physical products, but typically like digital products and those kind of products, and then helping them increase their reach, influence, and profit fundamentally. And so I've done that a number of ways, but one of those is just through, you know, helping these kind of brands and businesses run marketing campaigns that generate just a lot of, you know, a lot of targeted traffic. We get a lot of leads, we get a lot of sales all at one time. So these kind of product launches and things like that have been really effective. But I'd say that's just like one of the ways that we've done it, but there's a multitude for sure.
Right. So would you say that perhaps like a core theme is how do you get noticed in a sea of digital chaos?
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly it, right? And it's constantly changing, and there's so much competition, even if it's not direct, you know, quote unquote competition. It's like this is the competition of the noise, man. It's like that's the challenge that I think every creator has to figure out how to solve for. And I just feel like, you know, a lot of the advice out there is like, it's, you know, it's maybe it comes with good intention, but a lot of it's like generic or not even really just helpful. It's like, oh, you know, I guess that's it. So I think when people find me, a lot of times they're finding me after they've already been maybe researching or learning from somebody else, and maybe their results have been, you know, subpar. Maybe they've made some progress, but I think a lot of the readers that I have are find it like a breath of fresh air, the stuff I'm sharing, because I get really practical with everything I try to teach. Say, okay, here's not just the why or the what and why that's important, but here's the how, and here's some practical steps. And so everything I do, I try to make it so it's like, this is something that that Tom could follow. And if Tom can follow it step by step, not knowing a thing, then I think it's good for everybody else. Then other people can get value out of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
If you like what you're hearing on today's episode, you may want to learn more about how you too can do what you love and get paid what you're worth consistently. Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Schedule Time with David. I look forward to speaking with you.
And I also wonder, you mentioned earlier that confidence was a big factor in how you took that first year where you thought you were going to be traveling around and not making any money, and how you ended up turning that year into the first year of a number of years of entrepreneurial success. Can you talk to me a little bit more about what you mean by the confidence factor?
So I think what was important for me personally was knowing that if this does not take off, if this fails, I'll be okay. Like I can, and but that was specifically in regards to, because I actually, you know, I resigned my commission. I effectively quit my job. So I didn't have that money coming in. And I hadn't replaced my day job income with like the side hustle income, which is arguably like a smarter way to do it if people are capable of doing it. You know, it's like, don't make that leap. Don't change careers until you've, you know, started to make enough money where it would replace your day job income. That's probably like a good, it's probably useful and I think wise advice. But for me, it was more like, listen, I feel pretty good knowing my track record and my background. I don't think I'll be want for employment, and I know I'll work harder than anyone to make up for it. And so I wasn't concerned about that. So just knowing that I exposed the confidence in myself and in my abilities and where I was, to know that I could take this big leap and a really big leap, honestly. There's no going back into the Army after that, man. It's like, that's kind of it. So that was it was kind of a scary kind of leap. And like I said, I hadn't replaced my day job income. So there were all these potential downsides, but I just weighed the cost. I kind of counted the cost and I said, okay, this is the risk that I'm taking. Here's the downside and here's the upside. And what I realized was like, hey, listen, the downside's actually pretty minimal because I know I can come back and I can get a job if I need to. I'm not married. I'm not going to force this if it doesn't work. You know, if people don't care about what I write about, I'm not going to force it. If people aren't buying my books, it'll be okay. You know, it's fine. It was an adventure that I wanted to undertake just to see if I could do it, to see if it would be of value to people. And so that was what I meant by the confidence. As far as like everything else, now that I've been in the space for long enough, I'd say one place where I lacked confidence was, well, initially when I started writing and publishing, people started asking me for help. It was like, okay, geez, other people want my help. And now some people are willing to pay me for that help. And then it's like, okay, so now I have like this new, I have to acquire this new competence in this new field. And so that was also kind of scary and jarring too, you know, taking money. You know, at the end of the day, I've been in the military my entire life. Like I don't never been a business owner or anything like that. And so for me, it's my life had been like just service up to that point, not really taking money from somebody or getting the checks from somebody to go do something. So that was a whole new world for me as well, with the coaching, consulting, advisory type stuff that's kind of grown into, and the implementation stuff that we've done. We've done it for a bunch of different businesses. I've probably worked with like probably 20 or 30 brands or businesses where we've done like really large scale launches. And we're talking, you know, tens of thousands of, you know, leads and, you know, hundreds of thousands in sales kind of thing. So really big things that are big events that generate, you know, substantial return, ideally speaking, optimally speaking for the person who's hiring me, and basically just kind of like making those things happen. So again, there was like some, I had the confidence in the back end, just knowing what I had done and that experience that I've had. You know, I think coming back from war too, it's like gives you some perspective on thing. You realize that, you know, business entrepreneurship, worst case scenario, even if things don't pan out that well, or things fail, it's not really a life or death situation. But just like, so my background, my experience has always been in spaces of chaos and discomfort. And I'm very comfortable in those kind of surroundings. And so when I made that leap, that's kind of where my head was at and what I meant by the confidence. And I guess knowing that I could land on my feet even if this experiment failed, it was the comfort I needed, so to speak, to be able to make those kind of creative leaps and take risks and try things out and just be willing to put it out there regardless of what happens. And so I think when somebody's just getting started or trying to grow what they're doing, it's like, you know, I think, honestly, like if you lack the confidence of that, like knowing that you're going to land on your feet in the future, no matter what, so I think it can like influence what you do and kind of how much you give and how much you put into it. Whereas for me, I was just like all in from day one. And I was like, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make this work. And I do truly believe in it. So I think there's a certain amount of confidence that every person needs to be able to make any sort of impact. And I would just say this, like, if you're waiting for somebody else to like pat you on the back and say, yeah, you know, good job, like you need to keep going, it's like, listen, that's not going to happen until you can say that to yourself, you know, because you're just going to be going through it for a long time before people recognize you or notice you. I think that's the reality of the situation. I'm not sure if there's ways to expedite that, sure, but it's always going to be a slog, especially for that, the person who's just getting started.
Yeah, no, well said, Tom. As entrepreneurs, we really have to understand where our value is and be confident about it.
Exactly.
So speaking of that, Tom, whom do you know personally who's done a really remarkable job of smashing plateaus?
I'd say there's so many. It's like all the people that I read, I'm just like, you know, all the books that I've had on my desk that I've either read or on my like to read list. But, you know, some people that just kind of, that I've been really impressed by recently, obviously Seth Godin just came out with a new book and I thought it was pretty darn good, but I've always been a Seth Godin fan and he's been doing this for a long time. I've been really into Nassim Taleb. He wrote Black Swan and I haven't read his new book, Skin in the Game, but it's on my desk. And I think, you know, he's the kind of guy that just like totally challenges how I view things and helps me see things in a more pragmatic and practical lens. So those are a couple people. And then more recently, I'd say like Jordan Peterson. So I had Jordan Peterson on the podcast and his book, 12 Rules for Life, I thought was just, again, it's one of those things you read and actually Maps of Meaning is her first book is even better in that regard. That's just like a total shock to the system in terms of like how we perceive the world. And I don't know, even the question of how we ought to perceive the world, but at a minimum, here's like some lenses of how you could, you know, look through it and perceive the world. So those are three people that kind of come to mind that I've been really impressed with recently.
Sounds great. And what's coming up for you in the near future? What do we have to look forward to?
You know, I have a bunch of projects coming up. I'm working on a couple new books. I'm hopeful that those will be coming out this year. We'll see. I'm just a slow writer, but I have just like a bunch of things in the fire right now. A new business called InfoStack, where we do discount digital products. I have, you know, again, those books that are in the works and I'm still doing some consulting with some other companies. But, you know, again, the way I approach this with these projects, like I think whatever, I'm going to be surprised by what's on the horizon in the next 6 to 12 months. Like it's just always how it is because I'm always open to these new opportunities. And it's always just kind of, I've always been open to the providence of wherever this kind of stuff will lead.
Sounds great. Tom, if somebody wants to go deeper with anything you've shared today, wants to learn more or access any of your resources, where would they go?
Go to the show notes here, David. I think that would be the best place to go. Let's head over to the show notes and you guys can connect with me from there. I think that's the best place to do it.
Okay. Sounds good. And the link to that we should put in the show notes to follow you specifically. Mm-hmm. insurgentpublishing.com or is there anything else?
Let's do tommorcus.com. You'll find that as the hub of everything I do basically. So that's probably the most interesting for everybody.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Tom Morcus, the founder and CEO of Insurgent Publishing, among many other things. Thank you again, Tom, for joining us.
Thank you, David. It was a pleasure.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how to get noticed in a sea of digital chaos and how Tom has developed his own business. Would you like more consistent, stable revenue in your business? Go to smashingtheplateau.com and click on Schedule Time with David to connect directly with me. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.